Hi everyone, this is Sarah McFarland from Inside Scientific, the online environment for life science webinars, virtual events, interviews, and educational content that helps you do your best work. Our Real Science sessions focus on connecting with researchers, educators, and industry professionals from all walks of life that make scientific discovery and innovation possible. We talk about their work, their passions, their pitfalls, why they got into science in the first place, and where the road lies ahead. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Tim Hacker, Director of the Cardiovascular Physiology and Surgery Core Facility at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Throughout his career, Tim has established several cardiovascular disease models, including myocardial infarction, pulmonary hypertension, and myocardial stunning and hibernation models. He also shares his expertise with the world by developing microsurgery and imaging training programs for students and research professionals. We've invited Tim here to share his career path and insights for young scientists on what it's like to run a core lab at an academic institution. Tim, thank you so much for being here with us today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to just jump into the first question, if you're ready. So this first question is, where did you grow up and how did your youth influence your path and passion towards science?
I grew up in suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I think that, I have really early memories of wanting to be an inventor. And I remember going into the basement of my house and cutting blocks of wood and pounding them together and hope that they would do something. And mostly I succeeded in not cutting myself or pounding my thumb with a hammer. And then I remember in I think it was fourth grade, we did some science experiments using bean seeds, and I was hooked. I thought, this is the coolest thing ever. And I actually understood kind of at that point in a limited way how science works, like you could make an experiment and you're not just messing around in your basement trying to do something. And so there was a real understanding here, and it seemed really cool. And I had this, I think, innate curiosity about how things in the world around me worked and was fascinated by that. And then, you know, I got kind of busy and went through puberty and stuff like that and kind of forgot about what else was going on and hit high school and was more interested in other things going on. But it did dawn on me in high school that you know, like inventors and scientists are one and the same. And so sort of some of my dreams and passions kind of came together at that point, but still really had no clue how you could marry anything together or what a job like that would look like or anything like that. And so that kind of, you know, that gets me to college, but a real strong interest in biology and the biological sciences and certainly how the human body works as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So where did you study and how did you end up in regenerative medicine and cardiovascular science?
That's a great question. So I did my undergraduate and graduate work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And as an undergraduate, kind of messed around in the biological sciences, still not really knowing what I wanted to do. And then at some point, I took a biochemistry class, and everything clicked for me there. I love the pathways of biochemistry, and it really dawned on me, if you understood what's happening at the subcellular level, you can really understand what's happening in a whole body organism. And I was really starting to have a strong interest in human performance. What makes someone click? What makes someone basically a better athlete? How can you push those ideas and those things to your advantage?
Yeah, definitely. And so as you kind of talk about your career, is there any one person who was or is the greatest influence on your career?
Well, I think definitely, probably my parents to some extent, because I think they did a really good job of you know, developing a curiosity and having us ask questions and think about things critically and to help us, you know, ask these kind of questions and have a wonder why and never limited us anyway. In a more professional world, my first advisor as I started my master's degree was Dr. Bill Stanley. And he was a crazy cat, basically. He was an amazing guy. And he was really fun, and he was unbelievably encouraging to me. I never really thought of myself as someone smart enough to get a PhD, smart enough to do this. And I sort of continued on scholastically for other reasons that we can talk about later. But he was really encouraging, and I think he understood me. I understood him. He had this great work-life balance. He wasn't what I would consider like a typical scientist, but he really was very practical. He knew, you know, when to dive deep into a subject, but when to sort of let off and start doing experiments and making mistakes. And it was really fun to watch him in progress and to sort of understand how science really works. And my vision of it was quite a bit different than what we did in his lab, essentially, in the experiments that we did and the way we tried things. And it was, and truthfully, he was fun. He was really a funny guy. And so, you know, everything made it easy. And he did have this passion. He had this innate, again, this big curiosity. He wanted to know something about everything and how things work. You know, it was a beautiful marriage, basically, between him and I, and he encouraged me to keep going and keep thinking and keep doing these things. And so it made it all really easy for me.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we hear a lot about general curiosity of young scientists when they turn into career professionals like yourself. It all starts from that kind of seed, if you will. So that's really awesome. Okay, so now you run the cardiovascular physiology core facility at UW-Madison. So for our listeners who are interested in potentially pursuing a path towards this type of work, can you share a bit about what led you to this particular position and a bit more about what your day-to-day looks like?
Sure. This is, again, like a lot of, I think, scientists, I've heard people say this before. It's just kind of luck, right? You sort of start out with an idea, and an idea of I was interested in human performance and ways to tweak the body to make it better so that you could perform better, that, you know, like an athlete could get more out of his body and become a better athlete. But the reality sets in that you need to have funding for that, and there's not a lot of funding for human performance. And then when I landed in the lab of Bill Stanley's, he was doing exercise. My PhD is in exercise physiology, actually, and he was looking at how exercise impacts cardiac metabolism, and in particular overlaying disease in that, and he was looking at diabetes at that time, and seeing how exercise can all affect those. And for me, that was pretty important because you know, it was really important to me to understand human health, and that was a strong interest to me. And then to this idea of how exercise can sort of move the pile forward without, you know, other drug interventions and things like that to create a healthier person. And so that was important to me, and there was funding there. So so to be able to have those marriage together was fun, and the cardiac is easy to get behind, really, and interesting. You know, if your heart's not pumping, nothing else is working, and so that had a strong interest for me. And so as you move along, you keep following these pathways: is how can you get funded, and then what's interesting to you. And so as you do science, you have this bigger question, but you realize you have to answer 25 smaller questions, including developing models that can really answer the questions that you're looking for. And as I started to develop these animal models to answer some of these questions, then that complexity of model development became really interesting to me, and something I felt like I was good at, and something I felt like I could really do. And it was a nice mix for me. I loved to be able to not only do hands-on surgery, but to do some of the, you know, the background work to understand these models, to understand disease states, and put all those together. So I like to do some hands-on stuff. I like to, at the end of the day, have something in my hands, a product, if you will, to show that I accomplished something today rather than I'd written a paragraph for a grant. And so to have those things come together was really great. And then as I created more and more animal models, it turned out what I really like to do is know something about everything, not necessarily a lot about any one thing, but something about anything. And developing animal models and having this physical skill, which I really like, this surgical skill, was really fun for me. And so, you know, my day became, you know, every day was a little bit different. Every day was a little bit new. There was a new challenge, both physically and mentally, for me, and that was really important, and that sort of really drove my interest. It made my days go fast, and so that's kind of what I do now as the director of the Cardiovascular Physiology Corps. Some days I'm doing surgeries, sometimes I'm doing microsurgeries on mice and rats, and sometimes we're doing larger animals and pigs, and we might be doing anything from these really complicated open chest surgeries to catheter-based procedures in the larger animals. Some great, you know, some is a really fine motor skills, some not so much. And then other days, you know, you're studying these models, you're collecting data, you're writing grants, managing people, managing budgets. All those things are kind of in a daily basis, and I might do all of those in a single day, and I might do those over the course of a week. No day is the same here ever. And that's really interesting to me. And I think, like, sometimes I wish I knew a little bit more depth or a lot more depth of a single topic. But I've really, over the years, have become a generalist. So I know a lot about a little. In some cases, I know, you know, we do so many different disease models, mostly cardiovascular stuff, but we do other things. And, you know, so we have some, you know, I have some basic knowledge about different imaging modalities and how to use those, and what can be applied. And so now it's really fun because people come to me and they need an animal model, or they're not necessarily physiologists, but they're coming from, say, nutrition or some other, you know, even biomedical engineering or engineering, and they have a product or a device that needs to be testing, and they have no idea the next steps. And because I've seen such a wide range of things now, it's really easy for me to design experiments, to be able to help them in any number of different ways, you know, from the initial proof of concept, and we've done all the things through to investigational new device filings with the FDA here. And so, you know, we have that whole range of stuff, and it's really interesting. And it's exciting because there's going to be something new. You know, my curiosity is how this works. Can we make this better? All the things that are possible we can do here, it feels like, and something's new, there's a new challenge to solve, a new problem, and it's not mundane. It's like traveling. I think you're looking around the bend in the road and seeing what's there, and it could be something really awesome, it might be something not so great, but either way, it's really fun, it's exciting, and, you know, it definitely, I never have any trouble getting up in the morning to come to work.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so earlier you mentioned, you know, human performance and how to get the most out of the body that you're given as an athlete. And so a lot of the listeners and maybe some of the people who know you may not know that as one of the super hacker brothers, running really, really fast for really long periods of time, actually runs in your blood. So can you tell us a little bit more about your second career as a champion cross-country runner and about some of the influence that your family has had on that aspect of your life?
Oh, yeah, this is always kind of fun because it's my double secret life, right? Like, I come to work as a scientist and you know, hardly anybody knows that exactly. I was a championship athlete. I'm a several time national champion. I raced on the world level. You know, I hesitate to call myself world class, but certainly I was, you know, top 20 in the world ranked at several times during my running career. And that's what sort of distracted me is school-wise. So in high school, my older brothers were runners, and they're successful, and I'm not of the size to, I'm a sports junkie, but not of the size to be able to play basketball or football or baseball, and and truthfully not coordinated enough to do any of those as well. And so running was a natural thing. And when I started running, I found that I loved the journey as much as the results. And so it was never hard to train daily like a runner has to do. And it's pretty intense. At least energy-wise, the beautiful full part about running is you can only run so many hours a day, and so you have a lot of other time to sit around and think about things, which is a nice marriage with science. But you're kind of exhausted, which was good for me because it damped the rest of my brain down, and I could actually sit down and concentrate and things like that. And so it was really fun, and that's what kind of distracted me in high school. As I became a good runner, then my focus really became towards running. And how I really wanted to understand not so much how good I was amongst everybody else, but what were my limits? And that's what I was really interested in. And that started to actually drive my science a little bit. And so as I got through undergraduate and I started, and again, like I mentioned before, when I hit upon the biochemistry course and I started to understand, okay, there's limits to performance somewhere in here. And if I can decode some of that, it would help me become somewhat a better runner, or at least give me a small edge against my competition. And so that's why I ended up going to graduate school, not so much because I wanted to go to graduate school, but because I really wanted to learn more about running and how to become a better performer. And so that's why I went into exercise physiology. And again, my original thought was I'll get a master's degree and I'll start to understand that. And I had some design on at that point of being a coach. And then when I started working under Bill Stanley, the encouragement was there to continue on and get this PhD. And I kind of went away from exercise science at that point, even though, at that point my interest was really in human performance, but again, understanding that that's not really going to pay the bills. But I still was able to dabble in and understand enough about metabolism and cardiac performance and stuff to really help my training to some degree. And I think the bottom line, what I learned is that coaches know what to do, they just don't know why. And then, because they've been doing this trial and error forever. And then, but as a scientist, then I started to understand the whys, and that helped me tweak a little bit of, and it's, eventually I coached myself, so it helped tweak my own coaching and help me understand what things were and where I could push and where I couldn't push. And so it definitely helped my performance. And all through my graduate studies, I was running and competing, and it was a good mix. I think I drove some of my advisors nuts because I was gone all summer racing, and then I had come back in the fall ready to do some science work and stuff again. But it was a good mix. It worked really well for me to mix them both, and it was really fun. So when science was going well, sometimes running wasn't, and running was going well, sometimes science was, and so it kept me happy, kept me excited. Kept me going. My whole family is runners. And so all my brothers were runners. They're all, most of them ran it for a Division I school. And now my kids are also runners. I have four kids. All four of them have run at Division I universities here in the university. I have two at the university now. The one, he's a senior, he's a super senior. And he was just fourth in the NCAA indoor track meet. Wow. he's almost identical. He's a mini me, basically. Looks a lot like me, and he's had really similar success. In fact, he's beaten some of my records now, and so that it's unbelievable to watch. And again, to be an All-American here and fourth in the country for college kids is amazing. And my daughter is also, she's a regular senior. and she had a terrific year as well. She's running, and they're both here at the University of Madison. And she's running quite terrifically too. So it's fun to watch. Both are biology majors, and then Olin, who just was fourth at the NCAA meet, is actually an exercise physiology. He's getting his master's degree in exercise physiology. He'll finish up in May too. So so somehow that, you know, they like me well enough that I still have some influence over them, and they keep doing those things that bring really good memories back for me, really strong memories, and I kind of know what they're going for. It makes me feel even blessed because I realize how lucky I was in a lot of ways, how things come together in the right ways to propel you forward and make a career out of that, something I feel really blessed about. And it truly is luck. You're in the right place at the right time and things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that my last question was actually going to be, have you passed on any of these passions, science or running or both, onto your kids? And so you've already answered that. You did mention that they were both in biology, and think you said Olin was in exercise physiology. So was that like a natural thing? Did you maybe accidentally push them towards science, or is that just, you know, kind of what came out?
No, I didn't at all. And I think it's a really natural thing, and there's probably a strong genetic component. Olin, I think he was 3 or 4. Basically, as soon as he could start to run or start to walk, he ran, and he ran everywhere. And you could just see there was just pure joy in that for him. It was never a chore, and that's the way he is now. And I think that's the way it was for me. It was like, you know, the results were important, and I hated losing, and I loved winning. And he's very similar. He's super competitive. But the journey was as much as anything. It's just fun to be able to do that. It just felt natural. And for him, I think he said when he was in fourth grade, he had already had a goal of breaking 4 minutes in the mile. And at that point, the first father-son duo in the world had broken 4 minutes in the mile, so both the father and the son broke 4 minutes, and I saw that, and I just mentioned it offhand probably at the dinner table, and that became a goal, and he actually did that last year, and we're the 14th father-son duo in the world to ever break 4 minutes, so we're pretty excited about that, we're pretty happy about that, and I think they just share that natural wonder, and I think some of it is like, it's just things we did. Like, my daughter would love to go on these, what we called spring phrenology walks, and we'd walk around the yard as it got nice. Like today, it's supposed to be 70 degrees here in Madison, and see what things are popping up and sort of look at the changes and kind of the wonder of nature. We love to camp and travel. And I think all those where I'm always pointing out and asking these guys questions that I don't know the answers to. And I think that probably did. It hopefully inspired them. But they could do what they want, and the older two are in the physical sciences. My older two boys are in the physical sciences, and they were, I think, more like me. They would be constantly breaking stuff, taking it apart, I should say, as kids, and I'd go down in the basement, and the tools would be scattered everywhere, and I'm sure that's what I did, drove my dad nuts, and things would be taken apart with the hopes of getting it back together and understanding how it worked, and it didn't, so... One's a machinist and a model maker for companies, and the other is kind of an electrical engineer for companies and doing computer programming. So they're in the same realm. But you can kind of see, it's really fun as young kids what their passions already are, and so you just kind of steer them to that. As I usually would ask, well, what about this? Have you considered this, without any other, you know, demands or anything like you should do this, but just the questions.
Yeah, definitely. Steering them in the right direction.
Right, right.
That's amazing. And it sounds like they've all sort of made careers out of their passions, which I feel like is probably the best way to approach life. don't for make sure. it a job first, make it a passion first and turn it into a job. So that's incredible.
Yeah, the two older ones love to build things. They love to take apart things. And so, yeah, it's not for them. It's the same thing. And their jobs are kind of like that, where they're always doing something different. Every day they're trying to solve a new little issue that comes up. Or my son, who's a machinist, he's a model maker, basically. So they're trying to make, you know, models of the things that the companies eventually want to build. And so people come to him and ask him, how can we do this? What's the best way to do? So I think, and it's really a wide range of different projects. And I think that we're all, my whole family is, I think, like that, where it's just like new is good. We don't want to be doing the same thing every single day.
Yeah. He's building mechanical models. You're building animal models.
Right. Yep.
That's
exactly.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, I just really want to thank you so much for your time, your insights today, and for sharing about yourself and your family. It really was a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
And we hope that you enjoyed this episode of Real Science and that you'll tune in to future episodes where scientists just like you answer questions about their life, their work, and share insights into what it's like to be doing real science. Don't forget to subscribe.